ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Advancement and powerful austerity. Guru Maharaj, the son of Suniti, who was devoted to her husband. A quiet and exalted position, not possible to attain even for the so-called Vedantics or strict followers of the Vedic principles, not to speak of ordinary human beings. Please repeat. The great sage Narada said. Simply by the influence of the spiritual advancement. And powerful austerity.
Dhruva Maharaj.
The son of Suniti. Who was devoted to her husband.
Acquired exalted position.
Not possible to attain.
Even for the so-called Vedantists.
Or strict followers of the Vedic principles.
Not to speak of ordinary human beings.
Purport. In this verse, the word Vedavadina is very significant. Generally, a person who strictly follows the Vedic principles is called Vedavadi. There are also so-called Vedantists who advertise themselves as followers of Vedanta philosophy, but who maintain a misinterpret Vedanta. The expression of Vedavada Rataha is also found in the Bhagavad Gita, referring to persons who are attached to the Vedas without understanding the purport of the Vedas. Such persons may go on talking about the Vedas, or may execute austerities in their own way, but it is not possible for them to attain such an exalted position as Dhruva Maharaj. As far as ordinary humans are concerned, it is not at all possible. The specific mention of the kings is significant because formerly kings were also Radha Rishis. For the kings were as good as great sages. Dhruva Maharaj was a king, and at the same time, he was as learned as a great sage. But without devotional service, neither a great king, a Kshatriya, nor a great Brahmana, strictly adhering to the Vedic principles, can be elevated to the exalted position attained by Dhruva Maharaj. This is the position of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is a great devotee of Krishna in every way, as well as a king, as well as a Kshatriya, a fighter, a warrior. And Prabhupada here goes on to explain Radha Rishi, like sages in the forest, Brahmana and devotees, this encompassing all qualities of a devotee. So if we go on to speak about the qualities of a devotee, is that he is perfect in every way. He can act as a king. He can do humble service. He can preach and do anything. As a devotee, he is possible to do anything to spread Krishna consciousness. It's not that he's a king, so he is only as the kingly world. A devotee, he can do anything. So Dhruva Maharaj's position here is explained that he is not only a king, but he is also a great Vaishnava, a devotee. Radha Rishi, a devotee king. Previously, the world was ruled by Radha Rishis, the Pandavas. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a great king. At the same time, he is the great devotee of Krishna. So, king means, Radha Rishi king, they are Vaishnava king, that they make sure the whole world is Krishna conscious. There are such kings today. There's no kings. They elect people, and then they do what they want to do, and all the people who elect them, and they're all also not devotees. So, this is the age of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, there is no saintly kings. Saintly kings are only in the past, there were saintly kings. Because the qualities of a great devotee is that the form, the primary qualities of a great devotee is that he is a devotee of Krishna. And if you love Krishna, you want to make others Krishna conscious. So before the king, they would make sure the whole, all citizens were devotees. They make sure everyone follow the religious principles. Make sure that they develop love for Krishna. So they propagate Krishna consciousness. So it's a great position to have if you are a devotee. So if you are a great devotee and you are a king, you have the power to make everyone Krishna conscious. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever a great man does, common man follows in footsteps. Their example. So if you have the power, after you're sitting on top as a king, you have the power to make everyone Krishna conscious by your own example. Because Dhruva Maharaj is the perfect example. He was the king of the universe. And he himself was so humble that at feet of Krishna, he didn't want anything, he just wanted to serve Krishna. So just like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he had so much, a whole ISKCON dreams of. But he didn't accept all this comfort for himself. He could be very comfortable sitting and just relax and take it easy. But Srila Prabhupada had so much comfort. But he was always in the mood of preaching. He was always in the mood of preaching. He was always in the mood of like he was pacing up and down to meet a guest so he can preach to them. He never wasted the time. So Prabhupada was so perfect in every way. He was a perfect leader. He had so much opulent, but he was not attached to it. He could be sitting on the wealth. And like we say in English, comfort zone. We have everything going for us. We have plenty of money, we have everything going for us, we sit back and relax. That's comfort zone. We forget Krishna. Because Krishna is the enjoyer. So, great kings, the sadhus, they're sadhus, not only kings, they're also sadhus. Sadhu means one who is renounced. Renunciation is a very unique character of a devotee. Attachment, asakti, you say. Attachment to the material world is the thing in our heart. So sadhus, they renounce. People who are renounced, they're very attractive character. That's why sannyasi, sadhus, people pay obeisances. But they're not thinking, oh, I'm so great. They're very humble. They accept the service on behalf of their guru. So Prabhupada, he had so much opulence, but he never ever think that this is due to me. Even though it's him, it's his work that we have the ISKCON. He may say, oh, my Guru Maharaj is so great. You have your Guru Maharaj because of Prabhupada. If Prabhupada didn't go to America, he wouldn't have anybody. We would be sitting here today, in this beautiful Melbourne temple. In every way, we must know, is due to the mercy of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. It's not that Srila Prabhupada is in the background, we're in the front. Is his mercy, he's the forefront of everything. Founder Guru, founder of China, Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy. He is a king. Sometimes people like to dress Prabhupada like a king with crown. But Prabhupada, he is also very humble, extremely humble. He was tearing his eyes, look at the deity. That's why Prabhupada is sitting right there, Radha was there. Facing each other. So it's not that Prabhupada needed to be reminded of Krishna. He's always thinking of Krishna. But just so that we can see how he is so Krishna conscious. We can follow his example. He's all the temples in our ISKCON, Prabhupada is sitting directly in front of Krishna. So he's looking at Krishna. When he's speaking to the devotees, he's looking at Krishna. He didn't name ISKCON as Srila Prabhupada ISKCON. He said International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada always reminded everyone of Krishna. That is prime character of a devotee. A devotee
description of a devotee is he who you see when you see a devotee that reminds of Krishna. If I see some devotee, they're so nice character, they're full of spiritual character, they're such nice Vaishnavas, it reminds me of Krishna. So devotee means one who, he who reminds us of Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj is an example. Everything is written in the Bhagavatam, it's for us to follow that example. That's why it's there. And so Raja Rishi, we don't have Raja Rishi anymore. We're a bunch of rogues that leads the world today. We're having hard time to implement spiritual regulation principle in the world because we don't have the sacred kings. We have kings, and we have people who are themselves are testing the material world. Economy development, tax gratification. This is the pillar of economy is all the irreligious principles. If you can cheat people, then you are the perfect person. Everyone has a lot of money because they're good at cheating. It's not always the business. That is the business. They say like that. But if you are a king, a devotee, a Vaishnava, you don't have cheating propensity. That's why devotees are not good business people. Because you are too honest. But Krishna teaches always to the devotees first. So Dhruva Maharaj, he didn't miss anything. He met Krishna and he's completely satisfied. He's satisfied being with Krishna. It's not that we are needed to surrounded by wealth to be happy. That is not the case. You see society today. Everyone's running after economic development. Money, money, money is the honey. But nobody is happy. Money makes everyone more unhappy. Frustration. Devotees don't have so much. We have Krishna. We have Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. He just wanted to be Krishna. The Pandavas, they were living in forest. They had nothing. They didn't even have a home living in forest. But they have Krishna. When you have Krishna, we don't want anything. He is the boss. He is the owner of everything. With Krishna, what do you want? And they were, the Pandavas, they were always satisfied. But they inflicted by pains, by others. But they didn't care because they had Krishna. So sometimes we need to see these things, these examples that our life is like this, like that. It's not that we are devoted to all the pain and the misery is gone. Poof, oh, Jani Hare Krishna. We are not affected by it. We are all affected by Maya. We are affected by miseries. That's why we are running to temple of Krishna. But that's good. If we are not affected by Maya, if we are not affected by miseries of the world, we would not come to Krishna. So Krishna created this so we can turn to Him. In a good, in a way. We are in this world. If you don't turn to Krishna, who else can help you? You go to your president, oh, I'll vote you. Yeah, I'll vote me, I promise you. They are all false promises, everybody knows that. Krishna says, Sarvadharman, come to me, surrender to me, I'll protect you, do not worry. And He is protecting us at every moment, He's protecting us. Every devotee have a story to tell you how Krishna is protecting us. Isn't it? In the fact, this is the fact that we don't have big bank balance. But we're still standing here. We can sing and dance. Freely, hands in the air. Whether you have money or not. I say, no. No. I don't have anything. We don't own a home, or bank balance. But devotees are so happy. We don't depend our spiritual pleasure on material situation. In any situation, we serve Krishna. that unconditional devotional service. Srila Prabhupada went to America, he had nothing, materially speaking. But he was extremely happy because it was Krishna. But I saw Prabhupada. He seemingly showed a lot of stress. When you look at Prabhupada, some pictures you can see, he is looking at everyone, he is feeling stress. But that stress is thinking how I can make these people Krishna conscious. Transcendental anxiety. Devotees don't have anxiety, they are full of anxiety. We have too much anxiety, more than others, in fact. And then before they used to say, you Hare Krishna, get a job! And we wake up at 4, we're fully working. By the time they go to work, we've already been up for 5 hours. By the time we have breakfast at 9 o'clock, everyone's already up for so long. So it should be, anyway. If you're not, then getting up now. But devotees work very hard. The anxiety we have, how I can become Krishna conscious, how I can serve Vaishnavas, how I can love Krishna more. There's so much to do. The Srila Prabhupada was showing that. He was slowly, I look at some face problem, he was always very grave looking on his face. He's not going around very in ecstasy. Pure devotees, they are feeling 24-hour ecstasy in the heart, but they're not going all that way. They are showing their anxiety, that their anxiety is that they want to see you become Krishna conscious. He wanted to see his disciples become pure devotees. One disciple said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to be just like you. And everybody said, what? How dare you say like that? You want to become Prabhupada. They start poking with the danda. Prabhupada said, wait, that's good. If everybody's like me, Prabhupada said, then preaching will become double. More devotees. We become more Krishna, everyone become more Krishna conscious. If we can be like pure devotees like Prabhupada, like sadhu, great sadhu like Prabhupada. I want to be like Prabhupada. I didn't say that because I can't be. I was just struggling to be Krishna conscious. How we can be. But Mahajana Jana Katasha Pantha. We are supposed to follow the footsteps of the Mahajana as great devotees. Follow their footsteps. We are known as Rupanugas. We follow the Goswamis. The Goswamis, they are very renowned. Very renowned. You have no idea how renowned they are. They just eat a little bit all day. Just a little bit, and chanting all day. So renounced. So renunciation is a very attractive quality. This is why you see so many sannyasis in the world. Everyone falling at their feet. Prabhupada, when you see Prabhupada, they're falling at his feet. They had to have a guard of people, so people don't jump on his feet. In India. Oh, Swamiji, you have all the blessing. But if you really want the blessing of Prabhupada, you have to work hard for Krishna. Follow the orders of Krishna. Follow the orders of Guru Maharaj. Follow the orders of the Vaishnavas. That's how you get the blessing. Now you fall at his feet. Prabhupada is not here. He is here always. Srila Prabhupada was in America. He was not in Vrindavan. He was away from his home, away from his friend. Very little money in the way. But he was in ecstasy. Because he was with Krishna. He could see Krishna. He said, I can feel the presence of my Guru Maharaj, even though I'm so far away. Because I'm following the orders of the Guru. He can feel the presence of his Guru. That's how it works. So, Bhagavan Kidane, where is God? Where is God? Hey, he's sitting in your heart. You're scratching your head to see God. Sitting in there, there in your heart. God is in your heart. But you can't see it. We're looking elsewhere. Elsewhere. Always looking elsewhere. He's right in your heart. Like the deer. They're always, they smell the scent coming from somewhere. They go running, they go here and there like crazy, going, wow, they've gone mad for the smell. But they don't know, the smell is coming from their own body. From their own body. So we have Krishna in our heart, but we are looking also here and there. Look to your heart, look inside you. But Krishna is covered with all the dust. All the dust of the clay away. Anavriti, right? All the material desires and all those things. So really, if every devotee is like a king, Radha Rishi, because you can make others Krishna conscious. When I come here, I see the devotees, all of you, I think, well, I want to be like you. You're so wonderful, devotee. You're showing us a good example. And when people come here first time, they see, wow, this devotee, this is a wonderful place. So when Srila Prabhupada was here, when they met Prabhupada, they just wanted to be around Prabhupada. Because he can influence you through his devotional service, from his purity. Purity is the force. He can influence you instantly. Oh, I want to be with this Prabhupada. And I meet someone here, I'm not coming here again. When you see Prabhupada, you want to be around Prabhupada. That's the pure devotee. They have the power to influence us because of there's so much devotion. They have so much purity in their heart. It's like a chambuk, like a magnet. It touches anything, a metal. So pure devotees, they can influence us because of their purity, Krishna consciousness. They're shining like sun. Srila Prabhupada is shining like a sun. There's no darkness. We have darkness. We're hovering over dark. Our mind, sleepy. Our mind is clouded with all the material things that we're hovering on in the mind. So that's darkness. So if you are darkness, how you can influence others? They become darkness. But this is where sunshine. Just like right now in New South Wales, there's no sun. There's too much sun. There's drought. So much drought, they're crying, the farmers. Oh, money, I need water. The demigods, they tighten the school, turning off the tap, no water. Because they're not serving Krishna. This is our answer. We tell them that, Hare Krishna's demons. Is when you don't acknowledge the owner will get upset. We throw rubbish in the sea, ocean god, how upset will be? These people, they saw sewage, all the rubbish into the sea. Sea god, ocean god. Tsunami, whole city is wiped out. That's what happens. If you come in front of me, I throw rubbish on you. That's what they're doing to the sea. Sea gods were angry. They're spitting, throwing all the city rubbish into the sea. There's a garbage collector came here the other day, and having a chat with him, big truck, and he was taking out all the green garbage. I said, "What do you do with all this?" He said, "We take it to one place, and then we crush it up like a sandwich with that in a truck, different things, and then they take it somewhere." Then he said, "Then what?" He said, "I don't know. I just put it there." I guess they're throwing it somewhere. It has to go somewhere. Oh, so our society, Melbourne, Los Angeles, then we're producing rubbish, actually, in fact. You see the back of the city, that's all the rubbish. So we're producing heaps of rubbish in the big cities. So the kings would make sure people are Krishna conscious. They don't do stuff like that. Because out of greed, because we have so much greed in our heart, we want to enjoy this world so much. So Krishna created this world. Go around in the material world. Try to enjoy. We're jealous of Krishna. So we have this material world. Here we are afflicted with pains and pleasures. Rich, poor, ugly, beautiful, handsome, all these things is due to karma. It's because we want to be Krishna. Krishna is sitting in the altar. I want to be. Everyone worship me. I'm God. That's the ultimate problem that we have. We want to meet that Krishna. We want to be Krishna. So, see, it's the modern society. Modern society is not perfect. More problem. More, I was talking to this lady yesterday at the crossways. She was talking, elderly lady. She loved the restaurant there. She's coming. She's 3 days a week. She's coming Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Because Thursday we have sticky date. So I was telling her, I was the one who made it. Oh, I really want. And she was telling how, you know, how from the 1950s in Australia and today, the difference and all the problems. She said, this country is going to crash one day, and they're borrowing money, they're not telling people, and there's so many problems that they're not revealing to the people. Somebody she knows a lot. Maybe she was working in the government. So the influx of so many Asians coming here, this place, and they're not able to control this because of politicians there. Is they're getting money from that. So that's where they're bringing in all these things. She was really distressed. And then there was a devotee next to her. I said, this is Kali Yuga. That's why. This beyond our control. Mature world is a place of misery. Krishna's words. The Kala Asatsatam. Mature world is a place of misery. That's it. Whether you're in Australia or India or anywhere, the whole world is suffering. Because it's a mature world. You go to places nobody around. Just an island. I went to such a place. I want to go to a place where there's no one around. I just want to be myself. So I looked up in the Google, is there such a place like that? They had one in Malaysia. I don't know. And so I had to take an airplane to Kuala Lumpur and change, take another airplane and then get off, take a bus, another 2 hours, and get off the bus, take a boat, 1 hour, and then change to another boat, a small boat, and go to the island. There's nobody there. And then it's like, and I was there for 1 week. The sand is like gold, clear sky, and nobody around. I just look at this, the ocean. When you walk into the ocean, you're beaten by all kinds of beautiful fish, like red and blue. All they're just there. There's no people there. All day I look at the sea and it's empty. 64 hours. I felt wonderful, and I didn't feel any stress because the air is so clean. And everything is so clean. Do you feel hungry because of the weather is so clean? So we don't find such place like that. So if we want to go place like that, we have to really look hard. Because the whole world, the material world, has become so terrible. That's why, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Vaikuntha? Where is the temple of Melbourne? We can find shelter, we can find refuge, we can find happiness where Krishna is, where Krishna's devotees are. The only answer. There's nowhere else in the world. I've just been to Jagannath Puri. You're there, there's millions of people in one place. But no one, everyone is feeling so happy because they're with Lord Jagannath, they're with Lord Krishna. So if you are with Krishna, with Bhagavan, you will not feel stress, you will not feel unhappiness. Just that when you don't think of Krishna, that's why Krishna says, Man mana bhava mat bhakta, think of me, become my devotee, worship me. So a leader, a Vaishnava leader, Vaishnava is a leader, is a king. He leads by his own example. Srila Prabhupada, he is a perfect leader. He is leading the whole world by his example. He went to America, he had nothing. Nothing. Materially speaking. But he had so much. Srila Prabhupada, he had the whole ISKCON.
He sell the Melbourne temple, so much money will come. This property is very expensive. And we have all over the world, LA, right in the city, the Sydney temple, we have right in the city. One temple, 10 million. I sell one temple, ah, oh, very good, I can enjoy it. Sit down, relax. Prabhupada had the whole ISKCON. Sell one property, that's it, you never have to work all your life. And your family. Prabhupada had all that. But he didn't care. He just wanted to Janani Krishna. He went to Mayapur and he saw Janani Vaishnava. He sat in a room, Prabhupada's room on the third floor. He told me the story. And he was sitting in a room because there's mosquitoes. And he said he lit, smoked the room with the, what do you call that? The coconut shell.
Frankincense.
This powder of frankincense, they put in a coconut burning, so you create big smoke. So Prabhupada was sitting in his room, feet out, full of smoke, he couldn't see him. And he said, this is enjoyment. I feel so happy here being mindful. You know, he didn't want anything, he just sat in a room with the mosquito to bite. That's all. With a room full of frankincense and smoke. And he was chanting japa. He said, this is happiness. You know, we go somewhere very far to have a nice place to relax. So, Srila Prabhupada, he was immersed in the happiness of Krishna consciousness. In the material happiness, is immersed in sense enjoyment. They jacket themselves with sense enjoyment, drink, alcohol. They say, oh yeah, happiness, happy hour. What happy hour? They wake up with a headache. Instantly. And they fight with their wife, fight with their girlfriend, fight with their friends. Punch off. After drinking. They don't know who they are. Their body is messed up from drugs, alcohol. So pure devotees of Krishna, they show their example. They, at whose feet all masters sit. That's Srila Prabhupada. At whose feet all masters sit. He's a master. Supreme master. But they never advertise themselves, I'm so and so. They're at the feet of Krishna. Krishna is always a devotee's object of love. They don't want anything else. Once you can see that way, once we can teach ourselves to love Krishna, once we can develop that ruchi, the taste for Krishna, we will not be hankering. We're hankering for material enjoyment. Hankering and for and lamentation. Always hankering. I don't have enough, I want any more. Yes. We can hanker for Krishna. Because no matter how much you have materially, how much you own materially, there's no end to the unhappiness. The less you have, more happiness you get. More Krishna consciousness you have, more chanting you do, more love for Krishna. Even a little bit. That's why we pray to Radharani. We pray to Krishna. Oh Krishna, please give me a drop of mercy. You are an ocean of mercy. Ocean. Ocean of happiness. Reservoir of pleasure. Just a drop. One drop of mercy of Radharani. She has her hand like this. You see her hand? She's doing this. Do your hand like this. A blessing. Everybody say, oh, Prabhu, bless me. Oh, Hare Krishna, Prabhu, put your hand in her. So Radharani is blessing. She has her hand, she's blessing us. Whoever comes in front of her, she's blessing. So you come to temple, he come to Melbourne, and you come, oh yeah, go for sightseeing. He didn't come to temple, he didn't get mercy of Radharani. Because she has a hand like that. If you don't come see her, you miss out her mercy. So ultimate mercy of Krishna is the mercy of the Guru, of the mercy of Vaishnavas, of the mercy of Dhruva Maharaj. We have to pray to Dhruva Maharaj, we have to pray to the Pandavas, we have to pray to Prabhupada for their mercy. Now, Balaram Jayanti is coming this month, is the brother of Lord Krishna. Then Krishna's appearance, then Mastami, and then Prabhupada's Vaisakha Jayanti. This is the time, this is the festival season. There will be more dancing, more singing, yeah. No, no, no excuses. Oh, I have leg problems. No, I hurt my knee. No, I will rest. No, no, no. We have to pray to Krishna. Give me strength to serve you. The medicine, you can take medicine like Vishalam so much for the day. The real medicine. Anything also the Maya. Nasi Bhagavagi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the medicine is the holy name. And you come to temple, and it's at the back. Somewhere you sit there and you're gently around scratching your head. If you want medicine of the holy name, you have to dive into it. Sing and dance. You see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Is he scratching his head? He's got his hand up. Jai, you know. He's singing, all the panchatattva, singing and dancing. You think he'll live for thousands of years? We only live for less than 100 years. We have very little time here in this material world. Very little time. If I say, the Thakur, he may live for 1,000 years. That's a curse. Who wants to live that long? Already there's so much problems here. If you become a tree, you can live for 1,000 years. If you don't serve Krishna, as good as like a tree. This is give example of the peacock. Peacock have a lot of eyes. You see on the feather. It looks like eyes, the fake eyes. So we have eyes, you don't see Krishna with our eyes. And we have feet, you don't dance at the feet and raise our hand in the air and do service. It's just like flapping bird. They're also moving, breathing. But they're not using the body to serve Krishna. It's as good as dead. Just waiting to die. So somebody say, oh, you Hare Krishna people are too heavy. We speak too much. Sadhu, that's what sadhu means. Sadhu means like a knife. Cut the vegetable. Come here, come here. Cut your throat. If this knife is not sharp, it doesn't cut. But they don't cut you. They don't hurt you. But they're cutting our ego. That false ego, our material desires. Take away our nonsense. They give us Krishna consciousness. So they're heavy. No mean eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no sex. Oh, then what's left? He takes everything away. I have nothing. We have Krishna. He takes away that and gives you something better. So he's taking away all the material things, he's giving you Bhagavan, he's giving you Krishna. So, oh, you're so happy, you take. No, he's giving you the best thing. So that's why the devotees are happy because they have Krishna. So we need to increase their love for Krishna. It's not easy. So somehow we need to associate with devotees. Sometimes it can be really hard with sadhus because they're too heavy. Sadhus are cutting your ego. And I don't know, I don't want to meet this guy. They're too heavy. They're cutting us all the time. But Srila Prabhupada cut our ego, but sugar coated. You! I remember one time a devotee, he pressed my belly with his finger, you nonsense! I went way to the back because he pushed me so hard. I was a small boy like this. I still remember, and they were hitting me and stuff in the Gurukul. But they're not around anymore. But they're very nice to me, but they're too heavy. And I can still remember. You know, if you just look at the deity, it looks around, they take your head and look at the deity. It's too forceful. I sit down to try my japa. I'm looking here, there, just got anything. No, just put, keep your hand in there and be back. Look at the deity, don't move your head. They're mocking you. If you look at it, They're so strict. They are that strict. Nobody's telling you that. No one's coming knocking in a door. They don't know what you are. You can do whatever you like today. But you need to encourage yourself every day. No one's going to tell you. You know, if you're in this one, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, there'd be everyone sitting in rows, miles in rows, not even touching the wall. They say, you're going to fall asleep. And make sure you sit in the front of the rows, sitting straight, you know, and looking at the speaker, something like a machine. But you have more freedom now. No one's forcing you. You're so lucky to be now. But one thing that time he was really good about, Prabhupada was here. Srila Prabhupada was here. If he saw Prabhupada, he didn't care. He had to sit in the front like a machine. And he had to do, everybody else was like a very, like, too heavy with us. But when he saw Prabhupada, he forget everything. He don't care because he loved Prabhupada so much. Every devotee is heading each other out. I'm in charge. You do what I tell you. They were like that at that time. But because Prabhupada was here, we didn't care. All those things were minor things. So think it that way. Prabhupada is still with us. Things happen, things that just carry on. What can you do? Material world. So we need to always constantly preach to ourselves of Krishna consciousness. It's not I tell you, you come to Bhagavatam class or not. That's your decision. But if you don't practice Krishna consciousness, you're going to sooner or later find out what the problem is in your heart. So that's why the stories of Dhruva Maharaj is here. So you can learn from his example. Become a Radha Rishi. Become a Vaishnava. And then, oh yeah, I have Kutila Khan, I have nice beautiful sari, and then I am Vaishnava. It's not always external. How we are developing Krishna consciousness in the heart. Look into your own heart. Are we getting rid of the material desires? Are we having more love for Krishna? Are we increasing love for Krishna? That's the development, spiritual development. So, Dhruva Maharaj is such a great devotee. We can pray to him. He is around and he'll bless us. I always feel this way, that so many years ago, maybe they don't listen, I pray, they're somewhere else. No, they're listening. The Prabhupada is listening. He's here. He's everywhere. Because Prabhupada is Krishna, and Krishna is everywhere. There are spirit words also. It's very mystical. We may not understand, but we can always get the blessing of a Guru, no matter where we are. That depends on our attitude. Yeah. That's why I always be careful. We don't offend the devotee or say something. Everyone can do. Even this small girl, small boy here, everyone, we all great devotees. So I respect deeply. I come in here, I hear the nonsense. No, I have respect to everyone. Are you nonsense? Okay, yes, I am. Over my head. Put your lotus feet on the head. We don't say, we will fight back. But remember, Krishna is always there at the back, watching us. If I offend devotee, Krishna will be upset. So be careful. Krishna is always behind us. Prabhupada is there. He's watching. So our protector is Krishna. Our protector is Prabhupada. So, doesn't matter, whoever. But we need to always make sure that we can develop these characters. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Writing or not, you should have a question. Thank you
for such nice. In the translation, you have Tapa Prabhavasya. Influence of austerity. Dhruva Maharaj is austerity. We should discuss that a bit.
Yeah, sure. Austerity, right?
Prabhupada said, austerity of a devotee is like austerity of the tongue, austerity of the belly, is the tongue, the austerity of the tongue is that we don't talk anything about Krishna. Because all we want to speak, just to talk about Krishna. Even we are always talking, related to Krishna, service. So, devotee's austerity is spiritual, is devotional service. Like getting up in the morning, chanting our rounds, being in the temple, doing our service. So, there's always that kind of that austerity. Dhruva Maharaj performed the austerity, he was in the forest, and looking for Krishna. So, we're doing the same thing. We're here, it's not easy to come to temple every day. As someone living here near, you come. But you make the effort to come from a distance, that itself is an austerity. But you get the blessing of Krishna for doing that. It's not that we want benefit. We always talk about benefit. It's not after benefit. We want to love Krishna unconditionally, whether we get benefit or not. It's not like Krishna signing the check to come temple or immediately, so we get $50. You get the ultimate blessing. The blessing of Krishna is that we go back to God at the end of this life. So this austerity sometimes comes in different ways. Krishna takes our family away, we feel disease, Krishna takes away your money, you become poor. These are material, it's not really austerity for a devotee is that we forget Krishna. And any condition of life, any circumstances, if we can stay Krishna conscious, that is the ultimate austerity for a devotee. Material circumstances up and down. It's not at the time of death, you guys divorced, and your wife lives in Brisbane, I live here, and this and that. It's all this, at the time of death, these things are nothing. Is not considered anything. We forget Krishna, that's an austerity. Chanting our rounds, such a difficult sometime, right? Focus on our mind in the mantra. Very difficult. One round, if you can think of Krishna chanting nicely. So Prabhupada said there's no austerity for everybody. Actually, someone's austerity. If you don't know those four things I said, for a non-devotee, that's like this suicidal. And today, there's no austerity. Before, in the 70s, there was austerity. Measures, austerity, austere measures. Get up in the morning, take a cold shower, they didn't have hot water. And these guys in the ashram, they're in the shower, steaming coming. They're in the 10 minutes, 20 minutes, steam. I was living here, I turned cold hot water off. I go, cold water. And nobody was saying, Hare Krishna! So, they're not thinking of Krishna. We are enjoying Krishna consciousness at every moment. I see people coming, joining Hare Krishna, they're skiing like this. After 2 months, they're like this. They have so much prasadam here. So, where's the austerity in Hare Krishna? Yeah, exactly. There's no austerity. Oh, I have to do so much hard work. What hard work? He's singing and dancing. It's ecstasy. That's not hard work. Here you go, serve prasadam with the crossways, cook for crossways. Then you have time off. And you go, the rest of the time. You see, material life, they work all day, they go home. Nothing to share. There's no talk about Krishna. They watch TV. They need more stress. So what is this is full of austerity if you're not a devotee. And devotees work so hard. And then they come to solidarity. They feel fantastic. You see the gopas, the cowherd boys, and the dhavan gopis, 5,000 years ago? You think they're just happy? They work really hard. In farming all day. They don't go to the office. At 9, 10 o'clock, the whole Vrindavan is quiet. There's no electricity at that time. Or they have, I don't know, but the whole place is quiet. Everyone's resting, sleeping. They're up in the morning, doing the duty. They work very hard. But austerity for a devotee is our how we can develop Krishna consciousness. Do understanding and philosophy, then you won't feel this austerity. You feel it's full of joy. Another question? Is that okay, Manjit?
Is it more austerity to preach?
Preach. It can be, it depends. Sometimes preaching is not only this temple is preaching. When people come here, they see Mayapur, Vrindavan, these are preaching places. So when people come here, they see we are very happy, temple's clean, we're cooking here, bringing to the city. So this is preaching. Of course, somebody's going directly in the street to be booked, that's preaching. Preaching comes from our centers. These are preaching centers. The ashram all over the world. Where Prabhupada have this house come temple? In the city, but not in the Himalaya or somewhere in the city, in the countryside. Because people can come here and they're impressed by this Krishna consciousness, Hare Krishna. Wow, so beautiful deity, so gorgeous. And then the prasadam is so nice. This is preaching. So everything we do, we have to do nicely. And when I cook something and it's not tasty, just full of water, no vegetable, then when I eat, there's all this, I go and eat. So for us, we have to see ultimately preaching means how we can bring more people to Krishna. Preacher means, Krishna says, those who preach my glory, they're very dear to me. If you turn people away, that's not preaching. So we have this clean temple, nice floor, everything, pakka, and then people come here, they say, Hare Krishna, the world is, well, Hare Krishna, and they're so happy. So I want to be just like you. I want to be in this place. They see us very unhappy, morals, and but they don't be in here. They say, no, they go to the pub, or somewhere else. Okay, so always see how we can emphasize Krishna consciousness, background of behind the underlying principle. Yes.
In the translation, it says Sumati was devoted to her husband.
Yeah.
So I would expect that she would like to go back home without her husband. How did she manage to go by herself, living with her husband behind? If she was so devoted to her husband, what time of life?
I would also say if she is devoted to her husband, then she wants to see if her husband is good devotee, and if the husband is even not home but serving Krishna, with Krishna, she's happy. Ultimately, she wants to see if her husband is happy. If her husband wants to be with Krishna, that's fine. Not that he has to be always with her, but she's want to see her husband happy because her husband is happy being with Krishna. So it's not like sometimes we are happy because husband makes us happy. So we are happy because we are motivated, they're self-motivated. But she wants to purely see if her husband is happy. So a different way of seeing it. In this case, you know, those days, you know, there's the wife were completely Krishna conscious. Even today, but there's some problem sometimes. But usually, wife wants to see husband's spiritual advancement if they're Krishna conscious. Actually, if husband and wife, they serve Krishna together, then everything goes nicely. When you too much emphasize the material things, then there is problem comes. Do I want to have a better car, a better home, better, this goes on. Materially, you cannot satisfy that world. But when you put Krishna, then there's happiness. So she's always want to see the well-being of the husband. And the way to do that is the husband is devoted to Krishna. That's how she becomes Krishna conscious. That's the only way. Yeah. Another?
He looked in a pile, they've already gone to the forest. In the end of the ninth chapter, he goes to the forest. And the sun represents the husband to the or to the mother.
Sometimes the husband and wife at the end they go together to the forest. That's panapasta. And they don't want anything retired. like here I'll retire, but you know, they take more time to teach Krishna consciousness, spend more time to work, take maybe some management, temple service. So this is for us, we take on preaching. So those days it was important. Yeah. So, you know, like that. But the idea is not that even your honey is all sticking together and holding your hand and it's all, you know, separate. But the one of us is there. That system is there, so we can devote our life to Krishna. At least at the end, when you give up, we can't stick to this world always. We need to separate. We need to become attached to Krishna. Because we're not going to be here forever. While we're here, we need to be perfect to in order to go back to Godhead right now. So it's not that. So whatever ashram you're in, you need to understand that. It's not that you stick together forever. There is a system when you need to go to Krishna also, not just on and on and on and on. And on. Spiritual life is a very with formal system. It's not. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Arpilu tuva padananda kishor, my son, daughter, and everything I have, I give it to you." So it's not that absolutely it's that we are so attached to everything, all these things. That's not on. It's not ours. Everything is Krishna's. Even family is not ours. And before you're somewhere in India, somewhere another man, and then you suddenly meet and you think, oh, wow, great, we have a great life. But this is, Krishna arranges that. But we're together for a short time. We're not going to be together forever. So see everything in the ultimate principle, you know, that everything we need to please Krishna first. Krishna can take it all away if we come too attached to it. Yeah, and Krishna is the owner of everything. So if the wife doesn't understand that, doesn't give the chance for the husband to serve Krishna, then if we please Krishna, Krishna can make the life easier. Krishna will make arrangements to make things better. But when you take Krishna away, then there's going to be a problem. That's how I see it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.